Welcome into Kicking It with Danny and Donnie. Episode 76 comes at a sad time. The Bucks are down 2-0 in the NBA Finals. I'm upset. The Suns are really good, Danny. I don't know what else to say right now to start off.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, you watch the game, and what hurts me the most is Giannis is so clearly not 100%. He's so clearly not getting the same push off the knee that he normally gets. He's so not himself. And with all that being said, it's 42 points, 18 rebounds. He's running people over. He looks, you know, on paper like himself. But I don't know. Like, I watch the games and I'm convinced I think he's overcompensating for his injury. And I think because of that, it's stopping the flow of the game for the Bucks. I think because of that, it's less facilitating, it's less ball movement, it's less rhythm for other guys because he just wants to get himself going. He wants to get into the series. So I look at yesterday's game and I think, you know what, Giannis's stats looked ridiculous. I mean, you look at those stats, 42 and 18, and what else can you really ask for? But I watched the game, right? The rhythm of the other guys on the team, it wasn't great. I mean, it wasn't great ball movement, especially not in comparison to the Suns. It wasn't great team basketball in comparison to the Suns. And I think one of the things you need to start recognizing with Giannis is when he drives the lane like that so aggressively and misses, it's like in soccer, right? If your attacker comes down and four guys are attacking and then you lose the ball and here comes the counter attack. Like, that's what it continues to happen for Milwaukee. He'll drive or try and dish to somebody and they'll miss a terrible shot off the front rim, or he'll go for a layup and he'll barely miss. And then it's a 5-on-4 or it's a 4-on-3, and they're constantly getting behind the ball. And I think something needs to change in this series or this is going to continue to happen because the Suns build a lead and it's just hard for the Bucks to come back because they're not shooting at the same level of three-pointers as they have all regular season. Guys aren't getting in their rhythm, and it's just hard to cut into that lead. So I think they're going to need to make some adjustments for game three. I still think Milwaukee wins game three. I don't think, you know, I'm not willing to jump off the boat yet and say it's over, Suns in four. Like, I still think Milwaukee adjusts, wins game three, and game four becomes, you know, one of the biggest games of the season.
I think so too. It does hurt. Because they did waste. It was 42 and 12 last night. I believe he had 20 and 17 in game one. But still, the insane stat line was wasted. That's what I kept texting my mom, actually, and my dad. They were both watching the game and asking me, like, you know, what's going on? Why can't they get back into this game? And I was saying from the start, and I have said this since this series started, that pick and roll with Chris Paul is going to be the death of the Bucks, because every time they get Brook Lopez on the perimeter, he can't stay with Chris Paul. He can't stay with Devin Booker. And then what are you going to do by default? If you have a guy like Drew Holiday or Chris Middleton guarding DeAndre Ayton, then you're just going to throw it up to him and have those little basic lobs that he gets. Those are easy points. Then you factor in a little pick and pop action with Devin Booker, you know, roaming the perimeter as well, who can move really great without the ball, almost reminiscent of a Klay Thompson type guy on the perimeter. It's scary. It's just, like you said, the counterattack, I think you put it best. I mean, he goes 95 miles an hour. And to be fair, he was the only guy on the Bucks last night to have a positive plus minus. He was plus three. Chris Middleton was minus 15, Drew Holiday minus three, PJ Tucker minus five. He was the only guy who was, you know, literally dominating. He was 15 of 22, 11 from 18 from the free throw line, which wasn't great. And of course, we felt every miss, considering what the Suns fans do and everything like that. But just wasn't the night on defense. And honestly, it's not like we played terrible defense. The Suns shot 20 of 40 from three. I mean, that's unheard of. And that was my thought going into it, going into the second quarter and on. The Bucks were up by three at the end of the first. The Suns had hit eight threes. And I'm sitting there thinking, well, if the Bucks are up in this game and the Suns are shooting like this, I'll take my chances. I like the chances going through these last three quarters. And that proved to really slap me in the face because look what the Suns did. It was, they could not miss. Devin Booker was 7 of 12 from 3, had a crazy stretch toward the end with back-to-back threes. And again, that 20-point quarter from Giannis, which, by the way, was the most ever in a finals quarter by one player, went down the drain because it was just three after three after three.
Yeah, and it, you know, it's funny you talk about, look at them shooting 50%, you know, how can you beat them like that? And that was what I realized after game one. And I talked to you about it. I talked to, you know, my other buddies about it who were watching the finals and messaging back and forth. And I said, game one, the Suns didn't even play that good. Like, they didn't shoot like you would expect them to, like 32% from three. You wouldn't expect that. You know, they've got Devin Booker, who's lethal. Chris Paul, who can knock down open shots. Crowder, who, you know, statistically was the best three-point shooter of the season. And then you've got a couple guys off the bench who are knocking down open shots. So I'm thinking, if the Bucks lose this game with them shooting 32% on a lot of open shots, because, you know, Donnie, I think that's the problem with a game like last night, is you get away with Phoenix shooting 32% with a lot of open shots, and the game wasn't even close in game one. It was very similar games. Like, it was, you know, Phoenix developed the lead, and then Bucks couldn't catch up. I mean, the scores were damn near identical. I mean, it was 118-105, 118-108. I mean, it looked like watching a rerun. And the problem is, Giannis going 95 miles an hour is great if they can start a game hot, a couple guys knock down a couple threes, and they get a lead. I mean, that's what we've seen in the last three regular seasons of Giannis being able to get them to do in the regular season. The problem is, Giannis right now is not 100%. I mean, we can all see that. So when he's blasting down the lane and then misses or passes it to somebody and they immediately shoot, Donnie, we see Giannis under the basket with a hampered movement. And then all of a sudden, it's Chris Paul leading a fast break, two lethal corner shooters with Brooke Lopez and Pat Connaughton and Chris Middleton playing defense. I mean, it's not a winning strategy for the Bucks right now. They need to make some sort of adjustment where Giannis does that every few bits. But one person I really think needs to be more effective in this series, and it's not even statistically, because statistics for me mean whatever when it comes to the NBA Finals. I mean, you need to see impact, and that's Jrue Holiday. Like, Jrue Holiday for me is not shooting unbelievably well. He's not defending unbelievably well because Chris Paul and Devin Booker seemingly are getting open shots whenever they want. So what's going on there? Because he needs to facilitate more, and if you need to get, you know, Jeff Teague into the game to facilitate more, something's got to happen because you got to get a Chris Middleton. You got to get even a Pat Connaughton. You got to get these guys off from the start. Like, I think they need to almost adopt, at least even try, what LA does sometimes where LeBron comes out and he's like, I'm just not going to shoot for 7 minutes. I'm just going to get all these guys into it. And then I bet you see a different confidence in that Bucks team. But right now, they don't look confident because they go down 10, you know, midway through the or end of the second quarter, midway through the third, and then it's a fight back. And as of right now, they don't have the recipe with Giannis not being at 100% to do that. If Giannis was 100% sprinting up and down the court like always, I'd feel differently. But right now I watch and I think, man, Phoenix can knock down 45% if they're getting fast breaks, 3-on-2s, 4-on-3s all game long. I mean, I think that's something that they're just going to, you know, Milwaukee's going to need to make some adjustments, or they're probably going to split these next two games in Milwaukee, and then it's tough sledding. So they need to make this adjustment now before it's too late.
And also what really killed, and you mentioned what happens with Giannis when he does drive in and have those guys back on defense. In a way, I know it's hard to plan this out, but if you see Giannis go full speed, almost, I would say, stagger a couple guys back, all ready to start. Maybe, you know, Jrue Holiday and maybe PJ Tucker, because when he's going full speed ahead, like you said, it's either going to be a dunk or a layup, or he's going to miss, and the Suns are going to have an advantage. But if you can try and negate that, because let's be honest, we know that it's coming. And that's the thing. He's so damn good. We know that it's coming. You can't stop it unless he misses. He can only stop himself in situations like that. One other player that I wanted to mention that I'm shocked we haven't gotten to yet, Mikal Bridges. Oh my gosh. Out of nowhere. Looking at his game log, the last three games of the Clippers series, last three games combined, Danny, he averaged 20, he had 20 points in three games. Granted, he did have a game with 13 boards that was really helpful in a really low scoring game in game four. 20 points combined in those three games. 14 in game one, 27 in game two. I mean, when you talk about things that aren't sustainable, that's what I try and cling to with this series. This is not sustainable. I don't think that the Suns are going to shoot 50% from three again, especially on the road. That's the thing. They have that home crowd, and that's why, honestly, I was thinking, okay, obviously best-case scenario in any series is if you win one on the road and you try and negate home court advantage. But for the Bucks, we saw what they did last series, losing game one to Atlanta. We saw what they did the series before, losing game one and two to Brooklyn. In Brooklyn, again, so, you know, on the road, not exactly a must win. It's one you'd like to get, but it's not necessary. When they go back to Milwaukee, they're going to have the Deer District popping. They're going to have that Fiserv Forum packed. It's not going to be the same kind of confidence, I believe, from the Suns. If it is, like they showed in L.A. against the Clippers, and like they showed in Denver, and like they showed in L.A. against the Lakers, you know, more power to them, because this team is incredible. But I think once you get home, once you give Giannis his fans, once you give Chris Middleton a little bit, I don't know what his deal is right now. He had 11 points. He was impacting the game in different ways, but in the way that he's best was not happening. And Drew Holiday, I mean, they were towards the end, I believe they were a combined 12 of 37. Actually, to end the game, they were a combined 12 of 37. And Devin Booker and Chris Paul combined for 54. And then you give Mikal Bridges 27. You're not going to beat that team. You're just not. So I'm really looking forward to game three, but I'm trying to think of one player that I would zone in on to say, if this guy has a good game or a good impact, it's over. I'm going to flip the script and say, a guy that may not statistically stand out, but it's the same kind of thing like Jay Crowder. It's PJ Tucker. We saw what Jay Crowder did in game one with that huge plus minus with only 1 point, not a lot of shots, not a lot of impact on offense. But PJ Tucker, if he can do the same thing, if he can try and put some pressure on Devin Booker, negate any of that supporting cast mentality like from Mikal Bridges or other guys like that, or, you know, Jay Crowder, pretty much his twin, I think the Bucks have a great chance to win game three, but it's got to start with defense. Got to start with defense.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I mean, I think the way that in the NBA nowadays that you have good defense is having good offense. You know, they talk about, oh, defense wins championship games. Yeah, but when Golden State was winning championships, it was because they were never in three-on-two situations, because they were shooting three-pointers from deep, shooting them at an all-time high clip, and then getting back on defense. And I think that's something that Milwaukee might need to start implementing. And, you know, trust me, I am the exact same type of NBA fan as you. I like to look to different statistics to cling to. I like to look at stat lines to cling to. However, I can't completely agree with what you said, where it's like they can't maintain this, because in game one, they didn't shoot like that. I mean, you said it. Mikal Bridges had 27. Game one, he had 14. Jay Crowder had 11 and 10 last night. Typical Jay Crowder game last night. I mean, it just looked vintage, right, when he was back on the Heat. Back on the Heat. Jeez, I got blanked for a second. But game one, he played terrible. I mean, you said it, 0 for. I mean, he was 0 for in game one. And Milwaukee still wasn't close. So for me, I don't think Milwaukee right now should be focusing on, and not even Milwaukee, because, you know, they're not thinking this, but even you to think, hey, can they maintain this? Because you said it at the beginning, that pick and roll is their problem. Yeah, Giannis not being 100%. That's their problem. I think they need to start adapting to what they have. I don't think they need to try and push harder to play the way they did regular season when Giannis was healthy, because, like you said, they keep getting themselves in bad positions because of Phoenix. Like, because Phoenix is running the right play. Phoenix is running the pick and pop. And yes, Phoenix is absolutely knocking down some big shots. And I do agree. I think that comes with playing at home. I think that comes with having the crowd. I think that comes with having the confidence coming off three consecutive playoff victories, none of which were incredibly down to the wire, right? So I think Milwaukee needs to worry more about stopping that. Like, you know, when you have a few things that are going wrong, you got to point at the biggest problem and try and adjust to that then the little things will fix themselves. And I think they need to somehow start running a defensive scheme, maybe that makes Chris Paul shoot more three-pointers, maybe one that pushes him out a little bit more, maybe they foul Ayton more. You got to do something to disrupt their rhythm, because Milwaukee doesn't look terrible on offense. Like, they really don't. Like, they have a decent flow, but it's not regular season flow. And it looks like Phoenix has upped their regular season flow and all the surrounding guys are playing better. So I think that that's one of the things where I think Milwaukee can more cling to the hope that they can adjust accordingly. Because I think if you cling to the hope, oh, Bridges isn't going to make 25 points. Of course he's not. I mean, next game he'll probably have 8 points. But Jay Crowder is easily going to put down another 15 points. I mean, if they keep leaving him open, I mean, he was the league's best three-point shooter percentage-wise. So, of course, he can knock down those shots. Cam Johnson can knock down those shots. Cameron Payne can knock down those shots. Chris Paul can knock down those shots. You got to make a defensive adjustment, because you said it, right? In Brooklyn, they went down 0-2. I was fine with that, too, because I said Brooklyn is not at full go. They're not super deep. Their offensive flow basically is Kevin Durant and other guys, you know, similar to a really good player playing at Rucker Park. I mean, it's like, let's just run it through this guy and hope. And there were some games he just couldn't keep it up, and the Bucks would run away with it because of that strategy. That's not going to happen with this Phoenix team. Phoenix isn't just going to go away. It's not like Devin Booker has a bad game and they lose. I mean, Devin Booker had a few bad games against the Clippers, and they kept managing to win those games. So I think if Milwaukee can make that adjustment, keep Phoenix playing from the outside in and stop allowing them to get countless. I mean, countless. I don't know about you, but it felt like I watched it every defensive possession. Somebody would get out of position in Milwaukee, overshoot a screen or try and come over the top. And then it was a 3-on-2 down, or it was the little 2-on-1 where Chris Paul would have a guy behind them. I'm like, you cannot let Chris Paul get his left butt cheek on your like leg and run the offense. I mean, you're screwed if he does that. So I think that needs to be the first thing they adjust. And I'm really, 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 really excited for game three. I think you're going to see a different Milwaukee. I think you're going to see a Phoenix who feels the urgency. And I feel like it's going to be a back and forth close game. I really do think Milwaukee will win the game, though. I think they're going to understand the urgency of it. And like you said, that Deer District, man, I mean, it's not like the Milwaukee crowd's giving up. I mean, no. They're rolling 100,000 deep down in there in Milwaukee near the stadium. That's what you love to see. I mean, that's what the finals is all about. But there needs to be an adjustment made, I think. And I think it's got to start with Giannis getting the team facilitated in and then being able to close faster. Because when he goes in crazy in the third quarter, you see him slow down a little bit in the fourth quarter. I think he needs to adopt an opposite strategy, get the other guys involved in the first 18 minutes of the game. And then for the last 20 or the last 30 minutes of the game, I mean, I need to see Giannis on fifth gear, like just running dudes over like he did Torrey Craig last night. That's what I expect to see in game three.
Well, you saw him screaming at his guys on the bench throughout that game because he needed to. And I don't even know what else to say anymore. They wasted that game. I'm sorry. They wasted that game of Giannis. And I saw a tweet last night. I'm pulling it up right now. It's got to be one of these Bucks super fans. He said, Giannis should fly back home on that jet solo. Everyone else rides back on a Greyhound bus. Because the fact that he was so good and literally nothing else happened. Here you go right here. Dan Devine. Giannis is now averaging 31, 14, 14 and a half and four on 63.6% shooting through two finals games. His team is plus four in his 75 minutes played. Minus 27. In the 21 minutes he sat, and his knee folded the wrong way 9 days ago. Let's also talk about that. The fact that his knee is still okay and that he did what he did last night after how it bent. You're a former athlete. You know what that feels like. Anyone knows what that feels like. But the fact that he did that 9 days ago, writhing in pain, people thought he's done. He's not coming back until mid-2022. He's doing this, and they can't get any help. And one thing that really – really, really freaks me out is what StatMuse put up last night. Eric Bledsoe and Drew Holiday have probably almost the exact same shooting splits with the Bucks in the playoffs. Are we serious? Are we serious? Can we exercise any of these demons of past players? Really? The fact they have the same stats? Are you kidding? And Well, given the fact that this is Drew Holiday's first playoffs with the Bucks, but still, Blood has averaged more points, steals, and blocks per 36 in his Bucks playoff career than Drew Holiday. I think that's a little premature, given that it's his first year, but still, that's not good. That's not good. The fact that we pretty much, I don't know, sent the house over to New Orleans and get back Drew Holiday. He's been great all year, but at this point, yeesh, this is freaking me out.
Yeah, I think you hit it straight on. He needs to show up. I mean, that when guys get really brought in for a specific reason, and that reason is to pursue a championship, you expect better, right? You expect Drew Holiday to be a little bit better, a little bit more efficient, a little bit stronger on the defensive end. You expect PJ Tucker to maybe get a few more open shots. I feel like they're not implementing him enough. I feel like when you have a Giannis who's literally driving the lane, as our boy Tonio likes to put on his timeline, like a fullback, I mean, when he does that, you got to be able to dish the ball to these guys. And unfortunately, even when he does, they're not knocking down all the shots. I mean, Chris Middleton is doing exactly what we've been saying for the last however many playoff series. It's not consistent enough. And it seems, though, to me, I mean, I know you said he contributed a little bit more on both ends of the court. I agree. I mean, he's giving a little bit more. But when that dude's not knocking down jump shots, you kind of forget he's in the game. I mean, you kind of forget, like, is that Middleton? Is that Bobby Portis? I don't really know who that is. Because when he's not knocking down shots, he's kind of just all over the court. He's kind of getting himself out of position. He's constantly getting beat on the defensive end. I think Milwaukee needs to adopt an AAU mentality. And you played AAU basketball just like I did. They need to start just absolutely cutting one player out per quarter and saying adjust it by that. I mean, you got to start doubling on the top of the key Chris Paul and make him pass it to an Ayton on the elbow, make him pass it to Cam Johnson on the wing. You got to start sacrificing certain guys. Like, you remember when the Warriors were at their absolute best and people would just sacrifice Draymond getting a three? You would just sacrifice Iguodala getting a three. Like, as long as it's not Steph, as long as it's not Clay, we're okay with it. I think they need to start doing that, because I don't know how many times Milwaukee can get to 5 to 7 points away and then Devin Booker hits that little sidestep three-pointer from the corner and it's like, well, what do you do here? I mean, his little move where he just dribbles and then takes one step to the right and shoots is so basic. It reminds me of LeBron's little move where he would dribble and stare at his hand and then take the step back and shoot. It's reminiscent of that, but it's just hard to stop because you're so petrified that Devin Booker could drive past you, pop from the elbow, pop from the corner and bank it off like Tim Duncan. I mean, they're such a lethal team from every angle. I think Milwaukee really the next, you know, 2 days needs to come up with some sort of strategy to take those two guys out of the game for even 6 minutes at a time and just disrupt their rhythm. Because it seems like Phoenix, it's hard to get them to break their rhythm because they're so fluid on the offensive end. They can pass to anybody. And if Bridges, like you said, they certainly cannot beat Phoenix if Bridges scores 25 points. I mean, there's just no way, right? But they can beat them if they can hold the two best guys on Phoenix to a game that's not like they're playing in the park, not like they're playing, you know, in offseason in 5-on-5 runs. They need to make it hard for them. If that's be a little more physical, if that's, you know, like I said, come above screens, I think that's the way to do it. I just think that the strategy right now, you're just allowing them to get into a rhythm that they can't stop.
Yep. I mean, that's really pretty much it. I can't think of any other way to put into words what the Bucks need to do. Just take advantage of the home court, you know, be there, be loud. Let's hope that, you know, we can at least get one game. At the end of the day, and honestly, I'll say it, you know, would I prefer them to win the finals? You can bet every bone in your body that I would. Yes. And you know that more than anyone. And you know that I'm going to buy out every, if they do win the finals, any championship gear on Fanatics or Dick's or anywhere. But the fact that the Bucks are here still blows my mind. You could say the same thing for the Suns. The Bucks, 8 years ago when they got Giannis, were literally bottom of the barrel in the Bradley Center that was going to be torn down soon. Low energy kind of city for sports. Maybe, I mean, the Brewers used to have some excitement, of course, Green Bay, yeah, but Milwaukee specifically. For the Bucks, it was never, they hadn't been to a conference final since 01 with Ray Allen and Sam Cassell. You know, and then they get Giannis, they get Chris Middleton in a trade with Detroit. They have Larry Sanders who gets kicked out of the league. They have Brandon Jennings, Monte Ellis, who gets swept by the Heat back in LeBron's first year. Just so many things that you look, you're like, ha, it's just the Bucks. It's just the Bucks. And then now, regardless of what the series ends up being, the fact that they're in the NBA Finals, the fact that this is Giannis's first NBA Finals, and he made his first Finals pretty young, I would say, and people, of course, have been, you know, raining on him and with like acid in his first few years that he was really relevant, which in a way you can't even say that his career started until he won Most Improved because he was so low, such a low impact. Now look at him. Now look at this team. It's fantastic, and I think that this is sustainable in terms of a team makeup. Hopefully we can keep this these role guys around, or, you know, maybe bring in some new fresh guys next year. We're going to have Dante DiVincenzo back as well, who's been pretty much hurt all playoffs too, to factor that in. All that to say, I'm picking the Bucks to win game three. I think that the home court's going to reinvigorate them. And like you said, these games have been close. They have been close. In a way, it seems like Phoenix has blown the Bucks out in both these games. They haven't. They haven't, because the Bucks are a good team, point blank. I do want to say real quickly, I have to get on you for this. You tweeted that Chipotle is obscenely overrated. I had Chipotle during the game last night, and I was very content. That kind of makes me sad. So give your case. I want to hear this.
Okay. So first of all, I'm so glad you brought this up. I figured you would, because I know your affinity for Chipotle. I see the commercials all the time. I see people always getting it, picking it up, posting that they got a burrito bowl or something. And I'm watching and I'm just thinking, wait a minute. The last time I went into Chipotle.
I'll go to Chipotle if you want.
Chipotle probably too. But Chipotle, I feel like I have to beg them to give me extra food. Like, I feel like, hey, man, I want some guacamole. Nah, I'm going to have to charge you. Hey, man, I need some, can I get a little more chicken? Nah, I'm going to need to charge you. Oh, can I get a little bit of this? Can I get a little bit of this? And then I look at it and I'm like, okay, yeah, this looks good. But what about this? Could I not just go home and heat up a bag of brown rice in the microwave? And as I'm doing that, cut up a half a chicken breast, because that's about how much chicken I get given. Put it into a pan, cook it, throw pico de gallo, a little bit of chopped romaine. Like, I just don't understand what's special about it. So that's why I didn't say trash, because I don't like it that much. I've gotten sick a few times eating there. I don't really like the flavor of most of their meat. I don't see it, but I understand that a lot of people do. That's why for me, I said overrated, change my mind, right? I got a few responses, people telling me ridiculous. My guy Tim Young commented blasphemy. Yet funny. Nobody has changed my mind, and nobody has even attempted to. Because if you argue me on it, there's not much to argue, right? It's not the best bang for your buck, in my opinion. It's hard to kind of argue that. You might think it is. Maybe somebody has some sort of strategy to get like double meat for free. Maybe somebody has some sort of strategy to add something that I'm not seeing. But for right now, when I'm going to Qdoba, when I'm going to Moe's, they're much nicer in there. First of all, it's less packed because of the people's affection towards Chipotle, and I'm getting the same food and not having to pay extra for guac. Like, for me, the guac is my, that's my game changer there. If I got to pay $2 extra for it, I just can't do it. I'll just go to the place next door. So for me, I said overrated. I wanted somebody to change my mind. Part of it was a little bit of, throwing out the fishing hook and seeing if somebody would take the bait so I could go back and forth and maybe I'd learn something. That is not what happened. I got a lot of people liking it, a lot of people agreeing with me, and a lot of people saying, that's crazy. Well, why is it crazy? Like, come on, man. If you say Giannis is the best player in the league and I say I disagree and you say, well, change my mind, I'm going to have an argument ready and we're going to have a debate. And one of us is going to learn, or both of us are going to learn. If you come out and say, Giannis is the best player, I say, no, he's not. And you go, well, prove me wrong. And I say, no, it's just crazy. Well, okay, well, that's not a very good debate. So for me right now, Chipotle, I'm not like trying to compare Chipotle to Giannis here, okay? I have too much respect for Giannis. But I don't know, man. There's something about Chipotle, I just don't see it. Like, some places, I see it. Some places, I absolutely get it. Like, you know where I get the hype? Shake Shack. That place is phenomenal. And somebody comes to me and says, Shake Shack is overrated, change my mind. I will, right? That's how confident I am in that statement. But Chipotle, I've yet to go there and be shocked with the quality. So maybe you can change my mind. Give me your order. I tried to tell this to Tim. He couldn't do it. So give me your order and maybe I'll try something new, because I'm willing, right? I got an open mind. I'm willing to try. And I'll come on here and apologize. If your order, I get it. I'm like, wow, that was really impressive. But until then, you're going to have to see my blasphemous tweets for a little while longer.
No, that's okay. We see him a lot. We're used to him now.
That's true.
I'll give you my order. And I'll be fair. Last night when I did go, I asked the guy, when I asked for steak, I said, can I just get a little bit more? He said, you want a double order? I said, nah, you know, could you throw in a little bit extra? He goes, sure. And didn't charge me extra for it. So the fact that you just said that is really funny, because the last two times I've gone, I've said, can I get a little extra? They're like, yeah, man, I got you. I'm like, thank you. My order is a bowl, of course, brown rice, black beans, steak. And then I go a little bit of veggies, pico, corn, cheese, and guac. I don't get lettuce. I don't do any of the spicy salsa. I don't do anything else crazy. Put it all together. If I'm happy with the chips that I have at home, I'll get maybe some blue corn chips and have a couple of, you know, scoops. Other than that, that bowl is going to be inhaled in a solid 10, 15 minutes. Because when I eat Chipotle, when I go there, I'm hungry. I'm hungry. And then I go home and I look at that bowl and I think, you're not going to last. But as soon as I'm done, I am I'm talking to this bowl like it's
I was about to say that. You're talking like you're a defensive end versus a right tackle, and you're like, you're not going to – I'm putting you down. I'm putting you down right now.
I can't help it, man. It's like Giannis to the rim. Like, we know what's going to happen. This bowl's in my hands. It's either going to fall out of my hands and fall on the floor, or it's going to go down my gullet faster than anything else that's a fast food place. That's just how it is. That's love my it. Order. Did I change you at all? You're probably
definitely,
like, no.
Definitely not, because I'll tell you right now why. My order is very similar. I mean, if anything, I add that spicy salsa that you so eloquently glossed over, because I need a bit of spice when I'm eating, you know, a little bit of Mexican style food.
I've got enough spice if it comes to Chipotle, if you know what I mean. That's enough.
But I need a little bit of extra spice. And for me, I don't know why. I just have better options other places. I'm a ground beef guy as well. I'm a ground beef. I'm a pulled pork guy. I feel like if you go to Chipotle and you're not a steak guy, I mean, you're SOL, right? I mean, like, let's be honest. Their steak is much better than their chicken. I'm not – if somebody argues me there, you're just lost.
This is something that I've actually talked to Emily about before. She thinks that the chicken is the best thing, and I'm like,
Emily, listen, you're lost.
I'm not against the chicken, but if I'm going to go there, I'm getting steak.
For sure.
That's easy.
And that's the thing. I go to – Moe's is my spot, right? Qdoba and Moe's are my spot. You can go to each of those and get a little half ground beef, half pulled pork. Man, come on. You can't beat that. A little bit of pulled pork, a little bit of ground beef. You get the texture changes. You get the flavor changes. It's amazing. And guess what? When you go there, you say, hey, can I get the half and half? They give you like almost a full scoop of each. I mean, 90% of the time, I'm getting a lot of protein there, man. I'm a growing boy. I need the protein. I'm working out. I need the recovery. So, you know, let's not get this podcast too deep, or we're going to have to start a new podcast called, you know, fast food chains or restaurant, you know, ratings with Danny and Donnie, which, you know, might be coming soon, guys. You know, stay tuned.
Sure.
But
I'm not against it.
Until then, I don't know, man. Like, that bowl sounded good. I can imagine you eating it. I can imagine us sitting there, you know, two peas in a pod, having a good conversation, eating a burrito bowl, and one of us ends up being satisfied, and one of us is sitting there with a half-eaten bowl wondering where all the flavor is. I mean, like, that's what I just see happening when we go to Chipotle next. So, you know, maybe next time you'll get some Chipotle, I'll get some Qdoba. We can record for our listeners a little comparison rating, post that clip on Instagram.
Well, I would say that I remember going to Moe's growing up, because there's one in Lexington right by my house. And every Monday, of course, we'd go, at least try to. I'd convince my mom, trying to. When you walk in, welcome to Moe's, welcome to Moe's, welcome to Moe's. That's my favorite. But yeah, I would say Chipotle is pretty good. Let's end with that. You're probably like, no, let's not do that.
I'm fine with it.
Oh, man. Well, either way, we talk about the spice. The spice was brought in the first two games in Phoenix out in the desert. Let's hope there's some mean mugging in the mean streets of Milwaukee for games 3 and 4, or else this might be the most quick NBA finals that we've ever had to cover, besides your Warriors putting a clean sweep on the Cavs a few years back. That is Danny Belcito. I am Donnie Sherrell, kicking it with Danny and Donnie in the books. See you guys next time.